Hallelujah. Bunch of drinkers. Hallelujah. Ah, yeah. This is the night the Lord has made, especially for us. And we will stay drunk and rejoice in it. Amen. Nothing worse than a straight Christian. God desires us all to be drunk in the Spirit. Amen? Well, you don't get that way by doing nothing. There's an area where you must participate. It's called stepping in. But first, you got to step out. You got to step through everything. You got to step through your feelings, through your thoughts, through your infirmities, through your weaknesses. You got to step through. You got to step through going through the bathroom. It's amazing how the devil can move somewhere. I got to go now. Boom. Believe me, I was involved in a ministry where you couldn't get up and go to the bathroom. Once the word was being preached, you didn't move. You moved, the pastor would tell you, sit down. He said, you're defiling the word of God. Far be it that we interrupt something that God is doing. Amen. Would you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5? So if everybody has to go to the restroom, go now. If you get up and go, everybody's going to throw their Bible at you. At least you get hit with the word, you know. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I think. Glory to God. Oh, guy. Oh, I'm in 2 Corinthians? Oh, yeah. Praise God. Is everybody okay? Let me get my bearings together here. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands to heaven and get another drink. Whew. I don't know where I'm going. Glory. Well, we're going there anyways. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. Is everybody there? Good, let's speak it together. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the spirit of guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to God. To be what? Well pleasing to God. Now, in this, there's that area where there's a change, because we desire to have more of God's presence in our life. We desire to be unclothed with the natural and be clothed with the spiritual, or what we call the supernatural. We desire to be clothed from our garments that are from heaven, from our home, because that's where we came from. There's a time in our life when as we begin to grow in the Spirit, we groan within us. There's an area that it's like, gosh, you know what? I'm just sick of myself. If I could just unzip this flesh and hang it in the closet and be about my Father's business. You know, Paul even said, he blamed Satan for the thorn in his flesh. He said he'd been buffeted by the thorn of his flesh. Well, because he was realizing that his flesh was always getting in his way. You know, because the flesh wants to do one thing and the Spirit wants to do another thing. Paul said something very powerful. He said that he was taken up in heaven. He was taken to the third heaven. That's Paul got. In other words, there are areas in Paul's life that he had so many revelations. He said, I'm not going to boast about this. He said, but I don't know whether it was in the body or out of the body. But I was taken up to the third heaven. He called it paradise. He said, but there was a language there I didn't understand because they really didn't speak. They communicated by thoughts. See, they understood one another, but Paul didn't understand them. Does everybody understand? That's why when we go home, the angel of the Lord that's encamped around us guides us all the way home. And then he directs us. If you've heard of people that have been who've died and have been taken to heaven, there's always an angel of the Lord, one that's been watching over that person, what people call a guardian angel, that guides that individual and guides them. And when they get to heaven, if the Lord has taken them to heaven to show them but going to send them back, they may seem dead, but they're not dead. And he knows that they're going to come back, so he can't keep them there long time. So when they get there, the angel usually brings them to a tree that bears fruit so that they can sustain themselves while they're there, because of the glory of God will wipe them out. And there are testimonies of that. So in this, there's something that's very important that we understand. In other words, Paul was expressing, man, I really want to go home. I've been there. I've tasted it. I've been to the third heaven. And there's that time when I just want to just shed this flesh and be clothed with my own clothing. In other words, home clothing with the glory of God, because that's where we came from. Amen? So, in Genesis chapter 1, if you turn there for a moment, please. Genesis chapter 1. Now, of course, we know that in that realm, there's no space or time. Moses experienced that realm. When the Lord, when he saw the bush, the burning bush, the bush wasn't being consumed, and the Lord spoke to him through his angel, and Moses walked over and said, "Here I am, Lord." And he said, "Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground." That was a place that God was speaking to him. Take your shoes off. In other words, your natural stuff can't handle it in here. And then when the Lord told him to come up to the mountain and spend some time with him to come and get the tablets of the Ten Commandments, that when Moses went up there, he was up there 40 days. For him, it was 5 minutes. He came out, it was 40 days later. He didn't have a sip of water. He didn't have anything to eat. Because in that arena, it was like heaven on earth. And he was gone. Moses just disappeared into this realm. He stepped in it. As he stepped into the burning bush, when the Lord said, "Take your shoes off," he stepped into a whole other realm. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament," what? "Heaven." He called it heaven. In other words, there was something that was separating these firmaments. These firmament was also associated with sky. And verse 8, "And God called the firmament heaven. So even the morning, the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And so it was." In other words, in this, firmament is associated with sky, arch, fear, sphere. It's like a dome, and you can see says it's under the heavens. So what he's explaining here is that there's the heavens that we always only look into the stars for heavens. We call that heavens, but it's actually the sky. But you know, we've been, as from as little children and so forth, we've been known it as heavens, but there's such a multidimensional arena that we don't really look at sometimes. And that's what we want to talk about today. On Deuteronomy chapter 10, what we want to talk about is heavenly places. Deuteronomy chapter 10. We are not doing a Bible study, we're doing a training session. Amen? So make sure you got your manuals with you so you can stay trained. In Deuteronomy 10 and verse 11, would you read it with me? Then the Lord was speaking to Moses, and he said, "Then the Lord said to me, arise, begin your journey before the people, that they may go in and possess the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to what? Fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Indeed, heaven and the what? Highest heavens." So there's multiple heavens. In other words, these are dimensions. "Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God, also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them. He chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked," know what? No longer. In other words, quit being religious. "For your Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, love the stranger, for you are strangers in the land of Egypt." The word Egypt here also represents bondage or worldliness. "You shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and do him. And to him you shall hold him, hold fast directly to him, and take oaths in his name. He is your praise." He is your what? Praise. "He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude." So again, we speak about the heavens and the highest of heavens because of the multiple levels of heaven. In Psalm 115, in verse 12, "The Lord has been mindful of us. He will what? Bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men." Who is the earth given to? Is that us? Yes. You know, I get a lot of people who say, "Well, why did the Lord allow to do it?" And I say, "Well, why did you allow to do it?" You know, there's something God's done. He's given me and you a free will. See, this one allows me and you to be in his image as a sovereign free will. He will never interfere with your will. So you have the choice to accept, submit, participate, or reject. He will never, ever force you. But see, there's got to be a place where we've got to begin to accept what God has done. You know, we proclaim to be believers, but many people really don't accept everything he's paid the price for us on the cross. I think it's shameful not to accept everything that he's done for me and you. Every drop of blood. He showed us everything. He's left us his spirit, his sword, his word, his presence, the anointing. He's left me and you everything. There isn't anything. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," which means lack. We shouldn't lack anything. The reason why we lack is because there's something that we're not cooperating with. Does everybody understand that? Why? Because we're allowing influence of darkness to influence our will. Religion influences people's will and belief in the area that if they know the word, they're okay. Well, let me tell you something. I listened to a testimony of a gentleman that died and went to heaven. And while he was waiting to go before the Lord, the angel showed him 50 people waiting to go before the Lord because he takes them one at a time. And he thought, 50 people. He said, yes, 2,000 died and only 50 people made it today. 2,000 died and 50 people made it. And when he got before the Lord, he was devastated. The Lord exposed him. And he was a preacher for many years. He said, you did what you wanted to do and not what I wanted to do. He thought the Lord wasn't going to let him in. He was devastated. The Lord told him there are many people who believe who are not coming in. They proclaim that they're believers, but they won't make it. And this man was a Baptist preacher. Now, I'm not talking about denominations or whatever. It's got nothing to do with it. But I'm going to tell you, there is a lie. It's called once saved, always saved. And that is a lie. And many people, because of the way that is preached, won't make it to heaven because they think that they can accept Jesus and call themselves Christian and still go out and fornicate, still go out and lie, go to bars, smoke pot, and do everything else and expect to make it home into heaven. And they won't. They will go to hell. And those preachers that preach once saved, always saved are going to hell also. Is everybody okay? I pray they wake up. Woe to them who mislead them. Hallelujah. And verse 16 again. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. So it's our responsibility, isn't it? You and I have been given dominion and authority. We know that the ruler is Satan, but the earth has still been given to men. That's why Jesus came, to give me and you all authority and power so that we're no longer under his rule. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into silence, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. The earth is given to who? Us. Free will to choose, don't we? We can participate or not. Well, I just don't feel like, well, that's your choice. Then you're going to be led by your, if you're going to live how you feel, then you're not going to do God's will. It's impossible. And if he can't trust you, he knows you can't trust him. And if you can't trust him, he knows he can't trust you. I believe that there are things that are happening right now where the fear of God is beginning to infiltrate more. And it needs to. In Hosea 4:6, it says, my people are destroyed for what? You don't have to go there. We've been there plenty of times if you don't know by now. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected my knowledge and truth, I will not allow you to be a priest. That's the second chamber of the tabernacle. We'll talk more about that. And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. In other words, a curse comes down the family line. Because they have See, anybody know that knowledge is also a key? Now, we talked about the keys of the kingdom, didn't we? To bind and loose. But knowledge is also a key. We're not saved by knowledge. We're saved through Jesus. Amen? But knowledge should bring us to Jesus, right? But then the Lord brings us knowledge, doesn't he? He reveals to me and you knowledge. In fact, it's one of the gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 1. That's why, in other words, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you have the choice to learn or burn. That's your choice. God will not interfere with it, will he? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Let's read it together, please. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing where? In heavenly places in Christ. These heavenly places. In heavenly places. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? Holy and without blame before him in love. This is a heavenly place. One of the places, multiple places. In other words, these places that are places that are not associated with the physical realm, they're associated with the spiritual realm. In Ephesians 2, in verse 6, it says in what? And he raised us up together and made us sit together in where? Heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are also, not only are we blessed with spiritual blessings in heavenly places, but we are seated in heavenly places. The purpose of being seated in heavenly places is for positioning. In Ephesians 3, in verse 8, Ephesians 3 and verse 8, and to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, the body of Christ, to the what? Principalities and the powers in the heavenly places. So in other words, this manifold wisdom of God to be given to the church so that the church can use it to access their seats that are seated in heavenly places to take dominion in the areas of the principalities, is there the powers in the heavenly places. So we can now access with confidence to the Father. That confidence is assurance. And when there's assurance, it's participation, isn't it? So that we can do what? We can address and take dominion. And I want to read the rest of this here. In verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations, for which is your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Again, it's a manifold wisdom of God. In other words, this manifold wisdom of God was in Jesus. See, he came to bring truth, didn't he? He came. Now, one of the things that wisdom does is it tells you what to do. It tells you, in other words, okay, if you're told to do this, now wisdom tells you how to do it. So everybody got it? Tells you what? How to do it. So in the gifts of the Spirit, there may be a word of wisdom because that wisdom is revealing to you how to do something. Hallelujah. I want to say this again. It's a manifold wisdom of God to the body of Christ so that we can access principalities and powers in heavenly places, that we may know about this, that we may address this, that we may not ignore this. In Job chapter 1. And that we would take dominion of it. Job chapter 1. Heavenly places. Verse 6. Job 1 verse 6. Would you read it with me? Now there was a day when the sons of God, these were angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Now, when the Lord said, so where did you come from? In other words, again, who's, the earth is supposed to have been given to who? Me and you. And now Satan, he says, well, Satan didn't say, well, you knew where I've been. He had to tell him where he was. You know, God knows all things, doesn't he? But he doesn't interfere with all things. There are things that even the Bible says he hides his face. The one thing about this was so powerful because when Satan said, I was going to and fro, in other words, in back and forth, what he was saying, I was going in and out. In other words, I was coming in two different directions, multiple directions. I was coming in and out. In and out what? In and out of dimensional walls, dimensional locations. Let me explain something to you. Again, we have this tendency to think that the heavens are all up in the sky. Let me tell you something. The first heaven is the first realm you don't see. That's called the first heaven. So is there a realm we don't see right here?
Yes,
that's called the first heaven. The second heaven, I'm talking about deeper into heaven. Now, we keep thinking that everything is always up, and there's nothing wrong with that because it's all over. There are dimensionals. There's three dimensions. There's three heavens. And each heaven, we don't know how many layers there are or whatever they've called the seventh heaven or whatever. But there are three-dimensional layers with multiple layers within them. But again, the first heaven means it's the place, spiritual places we don't see. So the first one is right here. So the one that's right here, is that influencing you? Yes. Is there an unseen realm in the earth? Yes. Does everybody understand that? Just because there's something there doesn't mean there's not an unseen part there. There's a place in the earth all the way through. There are three-dimensional locations. The firmaments were known as the dimensional walls also. There's three-dimensional places. Paul said I was taking, I don't know whether I was in my body or out of my body, but I was taken to the third heaven. He was in the second heaven. Again, the first heaven. The first heaven, the first unseen realm, that's where battles are at. That's where you and I are tempted all the time. The second heaven is where Satan reigns. This is where he reigns. Why? Because he lost dominion when he enticed Adam to fall. This is where, in the second heaven, you will see demons. You'll see demons that look like people. You'll see demons that look like animals. You'll see demons that are just downright ugly. You'll see demons that are half man and half human, or half man and half animal. Hey, hallelujah. I won't go there. But anyways, you'll find some of them that are half man and half animal. Every demon has a specific ability, and that's all he has. Each demon has a specific ability, and that's all he has. If he's a demon of fear, that's what he has. If he's a demon of torment, that's what he does. If he's a demon of deception, that's what he does. Has everybody got it? These demons have a specific purpose. And if people could just unzip everything and look in the spirit realm and look in the mirror, they'd find out what demons they have. If it's a spirit of addiction, that's what it does. Spirit of gluttony, that's what it does. Is everybody okay? Each demon is designated for one specific purpose, and that's what they do. Spirit of religion, that's what he does. Spirit of lust, that's what he does. Spirit of pride, that's what he does. He's always trying to promote that. Amen? And then in the third heaven, that's the glory realm. No demons can get there. In the second heaven, you have principalities, powers of darkness, wickedness, and enmity. In the third heaven, that's God's glory. That's the glory realm. Nobody gets in there but Daddy and his kids. Angels are there. Does everybody understand? But see, we are blessed and with every spiritual blessing and seated where? In heavenly. In other words, you and I have access to everything if we'll accept it, believe it, and do it. You know, the angels are waiting on us to move. The Bible says that it's the angel of the Lord that encamps around those who fear God, reverence, honor, and respect. So does pride, reverence, and honor respect God? No. That's why that person easily uses food for demons. How do they get fed? By your emotions, by your reactions. How about anger? The Bible says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and what? Sound mind. Again, God will not interfere with your free will. Look at demons' access. They can only access you because we allow them. We allow them. A trauma happens. There's fear and so forth, whatever it may be. How many times have you agreed with something in your thoughts? Remember, they only access you if you will it. Spirit of torment. I don't know if you remember, but in the book of Samuel, it talked about King Saul, the anointing left him. Let me tell you, the anointing of God protects you. The Holy Spirit protects you. That's why the Bible warns us, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Make no place for the devil. How are you going to make place for the devil? By willing it. Well, I didn't know I willed it. Well, you agreed with it. The Bible says, come out from among them and don't touch anything unclean. Touching is associated with agreeing or touching something that's unclean. The spirit of nicotine. I'm not going to tell you that because someone smokes, they're going to go to hell. That's between them and God. But the Bible does say that drunkards won't go to heaven. Amen. Fornicators, those who practice witchcraft. So if, you know how much New Age is now infiltrating the kingdom of God? Well, now, I can't say the kingdom of God. I'll say the body of Christ because there's a difference. There's a difference between the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Remember, Paul stated he was in the glory realm. He was in the third heaven. No demonic forces there. The first heaven is the battleground right here, the unseen realm where we live. The place of spiritual ports. Those are gates. They open and close. Remember, there are dimensional walls. Where there's a dimensional wall, there must be a what? Door. A door that is opened or shut. Dimensional doors with each dimensional wall. So there's dimensional walls, and then there's dimensional doors in each one. That's why Jesus said, I am the door. He's the door to what? The third heaven, the glory realm. No one else gets there. That's why he said there's no other way up. See, there's only one door. That's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the what? Life. He was talking about the what? Three dimensions. And no one comes to the Father except for what? Through me. Why? He was the eternal port. He was the tabernacle. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for who? Through me. Remember, he said that. He was the tabernacle. These were the three chambers. That's what the word says in Ephesians 6:12. Want to go there for a second? Oh, my gosh. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There's two places that they will go. The first and second heaven, they cannot access the third. Is everybody okay? Again, the first. Now, I want you to parallel this because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The tabernacle of God, the first chamber, is known as the outer court. That is also associated with the first heaven. It is the chamber. It is a heavenly dimension. It is the outer court with blood sacrifice. This is where Jesus' blood allows atonement of forgiveness when we are tempted by the first unseen realm. As we confess and turn away from our sin, the blood of the Lamb is applied. That's where salvation is maintained. I said maintained. Hello, that's why he says you must work out your own salvation. The second chamber, it is known as the priestly chamber. It's known as the truth. It's also associated with the second heaven, where it is truth. This is where manifold wisdom is. We don't fight flesh and blood, but powers of darkness. And only truth can overcome that. This is where the second heaven is, which we are the second chamber associated with the second heaven. This is where we become a priest. Why? Because a priest is one who ministers to the Lord. In that chamber, people are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, the anointing of empowerment. They have a desire to honor and worship the Lord. They have a desire. That second chamber is so many. Let me tell you something. I'm going to say in the body of Christ, and that's a whole other conversation in Christ. I'm not going to get into that though. Remember the outer court of salvation. The next place is called the holy place, the next chamber. It's associated with the second heaven. Why is it associated with the second heaven also? Because that's the place where you maintain your priesthood as you worship the Lord. You are anointed and empowered. You speak in another language. You're able to take dominion. Why? Because you must be backed by the anointing. Listen, this is not about knowledge here. This is about God's presence here. Does everybody understand that? This is where it's God's presence that brings me and you to praise and worship, which is opening ports. It's opening ports. So we praise and worship. We're pushing back the powers of darkness. That's why the prophets in the Old Testament, where they would have symbols and stuff going before them, they have music going before them. Why? Because they were pushing back the powers of darkness to bring in the presence of God. So what our praise and worship does is it opens a port to push back the powers of darkness in the second heaven so that the glory can come. Is everybody okay? That's why we fight. That's why we battle. And let me tell you, the person next to you that isn't willing to accept it doesn't get touched. You're over there, woo-hoo, yahoo, woo, woo, woo. And the other person's like, what's the matter with you? Man, you just chose a sister and be an idiot. You didn't want to get the glory? I want the glory. See, that takes being humble. Pride says, I'm too elegant for that. Far be it that I should dance and worship God. I know the word. I even know the page numbers. Anyways, we won't go any further on that. That's the second heaven. This is where the priestly anointing, truth, is learned. Say learned. Learned. That's because truth is what? Learned. If you don't learn, you what? Burn. You burn. This is where the praise to battle is in the second heaven against the demonic forces. The third heaven is also associated with the third chamber. That's where the Ark of the Covenant is. That's where the glory of God is. Remember we talked about the third heaven is the glory. The third chamber is also associated with the glory. And it is called kingly anointing. Kingly anointing. And in that kingly anointing, God says in the book of Revelations in chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, just write it down, that you and I are called to be priests and kings. Well, that kingship is a warrior. He's one that accesses that realm. Does everybody understand that? That's someone that leads others to access that realm. Someone that goes in there and binds and blinds and mutes and deafs, who takes dominion over that. Why? Because he's battling other kings. What are these other kings? These other kings are known as principalities. The king of Tyre, the king, these rule over nations and cities. And without the kingly anointing, you can't take care of those kings. You'd be throwing dust at them. Ew, come on down. That's why there's a process of going through and learning. Listen, we can know everything about what's going on in the world. Amen? We know that our government's messed up. We know that there's half-breeds in there. We know what's going on. We know that we've been lied to. We know that all of these things, that this country's in turmoil and coming to a close. We know all of these things. Amen? So what are you going to do about it? Well, you're going to battle. Because you know what? Our purpose is to bring as many people home as possible. So we got to battle to get the glory here. We got to fight. We got to take dominion. The word says this, in the anointing, the gates of hell won't prevail. Why? Because in that kingly anointing, you use the keys of the kingdom. You use the keys of knowledge. You use the keys of revelation. And you use the keys of wisdom. Because you're in there now, and you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not here twiddling your thumbs. Gosh, I hope this happens. It's like going out and looking at your car going, man, I hope you start. And never going to turn in the key, because you didn't use it. I mean, this is the person in the outer court. Well, I guess I have to call for a ride. You know why? They won't use their key. Won't even enter the second chamber. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. He was the tabernacle. Amen? He was the tabernacle. Now listen, in these places, as Jesus being the tabernacle, there was something that happened. Even in the Old Testament, when the Lord told Moses to build a tabernacle, and the 12 tribes of the 12 tribes of Israel were all around the tabernacle, it said that by day, the glory cloud was over it. That was a port. And by night, fire was over it. And whenever it moved, it moved. Do you know what it represented? It represented fellowship, tabernacle, Jerusalem. Hello? Where what? The port is. Do you know there's an open port here as we gather together? You can try to create one, and there's nothing wrong with that. But God designates our steps to where they are. That's why you can go to some church, ain't nothing happened. Everybody's deader than a doornail. They just decided to go build a church and hope something happens. Let's build a church, do collections. Let's go out and feed and clothe and shelter those in need. That's nice. What about the glory, the presence, the joy, the freedom, the chains being broke? What about casting out devils and laying hands on the sick? Hello? So there's an area where there is a a place that God has designated as open ports. But you still have to participate. You still have to participate to open that. These are geographical places that God says. How about Jerusalem? Why do you think there's a battle over Jerusalem? Because that's an open port. Let me tell you, in some places, there's so much demonic activity because the powers of darkness has taken over those ports. Whoever controls the ports has the power. And many believers just sitting back. They're busy watching the news, but doing nothing. They're busy telling everybody how bad things are and what's this and that, but they ain't doing nothing. Geographical places. The Bermuda Triangle is a geographical place. But that gate's been taken over by demonic forces. There's multiple places of them. Is everybody okay? You got this? How about Mount Olive? That's a geographical place of an open port. Why? That's where the Bible says Jesus is going to land. He's going to step foot when he comes in. And the mountain will split. In fact, that's where he was telling his disciples on Mount of Olives of the things that were going to happen. He was telling them all about tribulation. He was telling them about wars and rumors of wars. He was telling them everything that was going to happen right from Mount Olives. Why? Because it's an open port. Now, there are seasonal ports also. That's why God gave us the Feast of the Lord. See, believers don't know about all of them. Many Christians don't understand it. They think it's the Old Testament. Let me tell you, there's no difference between the Old Testament and New Testament. Jesus said, I came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill the ordinances so you don't have to kill animals anymore for the sacrifice. But he came to fulfill now that the law is in me and you. Hello? So we have an area now. Okay, so there are feasts of the Lord. Let me tell you, every feast is associated with a visitation from God. Because on those feast days, ports open if you celebrate them, if you acknowledge them. Every Friday night is a Sabbath. Why do you think we do it on Friday night? We used to do it on Saturday night. Because it's from sunset to sunset. It is a Sabbath. We are actually acknowledging an open port. That's why we do the Friday night anointing service. And we go around in a circle because it's bringing down the walls and opening up that port more. See, people just think this is exercise. And they talk, oh, how you doing? Yeah, where you been, man? They got no idea what's going on. And especially when the clothes are out, they start stop. I hear this one lady stop and look at clothes. I got guys leaning against the wall on the phone. Hey, man, what's going on? I walked up to both of them. Do you know how offensive that is to the Lord? Get on your phone while people are praising and worshiping, while God's trying to open up a port to bring glory in the air, and you're talking on your stinking phone? Crush it. That's offensive to the Lord. Terrible. That's why we do Friday night, open port. It's a Sabbath. Now, I'm not religious about this. We gather on Sunday. We serve the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? So when we worship and come together, man, we're in the dome here. Yeah. We got a constant open port. But you got to participate with it. Yeah. That's why Jesus says something. Look it. Doesn't the Bible said, remember the old prayer? Father who art in heaven, you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What do you think he's talking about? Why do you think Jesus said, from this day, in fact, we're going there. You don't mind if we stay a little bit, right? Good. Mark 1. We got to get this in. You got to know this. Woo. Mark chapter 1. We're not going to go to all of these. We'd be here till tomorrow. Oh. But I want to get some of these in here because I'm excited. Mark chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse 14. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Was Jesus a walking open port? You betcha. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Come on, you get it? Wherever he went, eternal life and glory was available. Yeah. Anyways. And saying, now look at verse 15. Is everybody there? And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the God. The kingdom of God. Is anybody sick in the kingdom? No. Is anybody lacking in the kingdom? No. So when you bring the kingdom, when the kingdom is manifest, that's why he said, go and speak and say, the kingdom of God is upon you. What? You're asking for an open port. What? Heavenly places. Heavenly places. But there's that battle because the enemy wants to shut those, doesn't he? That's why we bind and loose. But we need to have the wisdom, revelation, and knowledge. Those are also keys. Amen? In the book of Zechariah 14. Hey, I got another one. Are you ready for this? How about the garden? The Garden of Eden. Come on, God walked in there. He talked with them face to face. There was an open port there. Why do you think when the Lord threw them out, he put an angel? All right, nobody's getting into this port. You know, it's very possible. And I know that the Garden of Eden, it talks, when you talk about the rivers and so forth, it says that the rivers will come forth and it's got the four rivers from the garden flowing from the garden. Well, you know, the New Jerusalem has a river flowing from it. Yeah. And who else was in the garden? The serpent. Hello. Open port, wasn't there? There was a battle for an open port there. But Adam had dominion. In fact, Lucifer, or the serpent, was a servant to Adam. And so were the other angels. But then they deceived his wife. Poor girl. What did I say to go to Zechariah? Really put a name on the girls, you know? Gosh. I never did say, honey, you're acting just like Eve. I never said that. And I wouldn't, hon. Maybe we need to start casting the spirit of Eve out. Zechariah 14, please. Glory. Zechariah 14. Is everybody there? Good. How about Mount Sinai? Open port. Didn't God speak from there? The cloud of glory was all over the place. That's when they wanted to, everybody wanted to talk to God. Yeah, we want to see him. And then, he spoke. Thunder and lightning all flew. Moses, you speak to him. Zechariah 14, verse 16. Is everybody there? Okay. Let's read it together then. Hold on a second. Yeah. 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of the nations which came against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and keep the what? Feast of what? Tabernacles. That's going to, why is the Feast of Tabernacles? Because there'll be a constant open port. They're going to have to come up. And it says this, and it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no what? Rain. Rain is known as blessings. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. How about Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo? Look at how many wars are fought over there. That's an open port. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and punishment of the nations that do not come to the Feast of the Tabernacles. In that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. In that day, there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. A Canaanite, Nephilim, hybrid, hello, and all their children. They won't be around no more. Amen? Praise God. So I just, and I want to close at Psalm 149. Heavenly places. Psalm 149. You know, somebody said to me, or I heard it from somewhere, oh, well, you know, Jesus, the battle doesn't belong to, Jesus did it all. You don't have to battle no more. They didn't believe in demons. So why do you get dressed with a full armor of God then? That armor is to be in war. You know, people don't even get dressed with the full armor of God. They don't know anything about it. How about the sword of the Spirit? Breastplate of righteousness. Man, every day I go to the Lord, I say, Lord, you dress me. Dress me. And then I speak it out. I want to be dressed by him. I'll probably put something on backwards. So I let him dress me. That way I know I'm dressed, and he knows that he knows that I'm dressed. And the demons know that I'm dressed. Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 149. And how many people, you know, it's amazing. They think, well, no, you don't cast out devils today. Well, what happened? Somebody changed the days? Did Jesus take a vacation? Oh, no, you don't lay hands on the sick. No, You don't do the, no, those were for them then. That way ago. They don't get it. Why? Because they haven't even reached the second chamber of the tabernacle. They're still out in the first chamber, stepping in the outer court and then outer darkness. Outer court, outer darkness. Outer court, outer darkness. They touch the second chamber. They can get filled and get baptized, but they're still choosing the will of the outer court and outer darkness. That's the difference. See, your will must cooperate with every chamber. If your will isn't cooperating with every chamber, then you get thrown out of the courtroom. You get sucked right out. Psalm 149, what does it say? Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And his praise in the assembly of the what? Saints. Are we saints? Look, you didn't have to be voted to be a saint. Let the house of true ministries, let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with a dance. Hello. That's why we dance. And we crush heads. Viper eggs. That's why we dance. Why? It's a part of warfare. Did you ever look at the Indians? You know, people don't realize that there are certain Indians that are actually come from Jews to Israel. Cherokee are Jewish. They don't know it. And certain Indians. And I'm not saying this to mock or whatever. I'm telling you the truth. Look at, they've come all the way down. When you search out what's what, they come from Jewish bloodline. Many of them. Then they interbred. Well, man, look at their chanting and worship. They even knew what to do. They praised and worshiped. They did it differently. The problem is they got mixed, you know, demonic forces mixed in. But, you know, they called the holy man of God, the holy God. They called the eagle. They worshiped the eagle God. Why? Who's the eagle? The Lord. Does everybody understand it in that arena? Of course, then they mixed things and they began to worship Egyptian stuff, this, that, whatever, because of infiltration into the enemy. Who likes to pollute everything. Verse 3, let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He'll beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Well, man, you're not in your bed no more. Get up and praise them. Now you can really sing aloud. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. And the two-edged sword in their what? In their hands. See, if the high praises are not in your mouth, it's because no anointing. Well, you got the word. You got the knowledge. You know it's truth. You know what's going on. But no backing. No kingdom manifestation. The kingdom is peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. You want that two-edged sword, right? Well, now the two-edged sword's in your mouth because you're backed by heaven. You got the anointing. Behold, the kingdom of God is upon you. Verse 7, now look at, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Look at, to execute on them the written judgment, this honor have what? All the saints that participate, praise the Lord. Heavenly places, praise God. Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let this see be protected by the blood of the Lamb. Let this revelation be so imparted that brings wisdom, knowledge, and understanding and discernment to battle, to be more sensitive to your presence, more sensitive to deception, and more sensitive to surrender. The Bible says, submit to God, then you can resist the devil. This is called submitting. So, Lord, let this seed prosper in each and every one. To turn their hearts, to turn their minds, and turn their will to you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Be blessed.